Hi, friends.
Hello, should I delete that, listeners?
We still have some tickets left for our live tour and we would absolutely love to see you there.
On Thursday, the 23rd of May, we will be performing in the London Islington Assembly Hall.
On Monday, the 27th of May, we will be in Salford.
On Tuesday, the 28th of May, we'll be in Glasgow.
Sunday, the 2nd of June, Birmingham.
Monday, the 3rd of June, Bristol.
And Tuesday, the 4th of June in Southampton.
You can get your tickets at aegpresents.co.uk or via the link in the show notes or our Instagram bios.
We really hope we see you there.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Oh my God, why did I post that? Ah, I don't know what to do. Should I delete that?
Yeah, you should definitely delete that.
Hello.
Okay, that was you, bloody hell, Em. I was taking a deep breath. I was doing a moment of meditation before we went in and wow.
Pull yourself together, Al. Podcast never sleep. Ambition. Money. Ooh, do you want to hear something incredibly... I don't know why I keep saying money.
Money.
I just keep saying it like quite aggressively whenever I feel tired. But I just feel like that's probably what like... I don't know, like Elon Musk probably says that to himself. He probably just like slaps stuff around the face and says money a lot.
Money!
Like, I saw something this morning. Yeah, literally, money, ow, money. He probably says it just like that. Like, ow, money. Okay, are you ready? Are you ready to feel fucking inspired?
Go on, hit me.
This is what's going on. This is what's going on our first fridge magnet.
Oh.
Attack today with a positive attitude. Absolutely destroy it with good vibes. Murder its family with hope.
I saw this on your story and I looked for like, you know, you can answer with emojis to stories. I looked for like an annoyed one or like a for God's sake one, you know, like an eye roll, but I couldn't find it.
No, that's because that would be a horrible thing for the platform to be inviting. They don't want cynics like you. We only want woos and love eyes and laughing faces. We don't want bad vibes in story reactions.
It's a good quote though.
The day.
I tell you what, stunning. I have been in a very
Al,
foul.
Put your scissors down. Put your scissors down.
Oh my God! I'm like
I'm in a foul mood. Waving your scissors at my face. You've been in a foul mood. I wouldn't have known.
I am in a foul. Like, oh my God! You know, and just. I've had to
Everything.
Shoot today. Everything has come at once, which is fine, which is great. It's good to be busy. Love that.
Yeah, money, money,
However,
money.
Yeah. I had to shoot today and my sister, who's like working with me full time now, it does my shooting. Yeah, helps me shoot. I don't know. Does my shooting sounds like I'm an absolute, I don't know. Just feel like I need to humble myself there. That sounds really, really
yeah, all right, Kim
wanky. She does all my shooting.
It's all right, you'll humble yourself when you see the footage. No, I'm joking. I said that was me.
The footage! Oh my God. Thanks, Em. And she didn't have childcare today. He's poorly, so he couldn't go to nursery. And so we've been trying to shoot with a baby. And my God, it's been absolute chaos.
I think that's brutal. And I get it. But also, like, I don't. Like, the risk of your kid getting sick... Like, it must be terrifying for a parent. No wonder they're so, like, fanatical about germs. Never mind, like, the kid's welfare. It's got to be more like, if you can't go to childcare, then, like, how do I go to work?
Yeah.
And let's be honest, it's always the mums that don't go to work or have to make the concession or sacrifices. Don't know why I'm kind of getting on a weird feminist tangent.
No, it's true, though.
But I can understand why people get so terrified about their children getting sick. Because it's like, maybe they should have like a special room at nursery where the poorly ones go.
No, that's bad. But the thing is, they get sick all the time when they go to nursery. Like, all the time.
And where do they get sick? They get sick at nursery.
Yeah. So it's a vicious cycle.
Just keep them in.
But yeah, oh my God, it's so hot. And I'm tired. I'm kids. Tired, and it's not even my baby. Like, God help my sister. God help the Jen. Baby, yeah. Because he was like not shoved around, like passed from me to her, to me to her, to me to her, like put in his high chair, but here and there, like trying to be distracted in every way possible, and also totally ignored. So God help the child.
Yeah, and poor Jen.
No,
like,
poor
because not
Jen.
Only has she got a poorly child, but she's got grumpy literally. You as well.
And she thinks she's got tonsillitis. And I actually didn't really, I was just like, oh, bless you that, you know, she gets it a lot. And then she was like, look at my throat. And it's her tonsil was like a tennis ball, just one. It was like a big old tennis ball full of
why is she
full
just
of
got
pus.
One?
So I was like, oh, you're really ill. I'm really sorry.
But you can't go home.
But we still need to shoot.
You both of you sit here and shut up.
No.
Why has she just got one tonsil?
No, she's got two, but it's only one that's like inflamed. The other one's just like a pee. And the other one's like a tennis ball. It's very disconcerting to look at.
Oh, poor Jen. My sister used to get tonsillitis. Then they took her tonsils out. But now she just gets tonsillitis on the bit at the back. What's it called? The epiglottis.
Yeah, it's so horrible.
Epiglottis. Yeah, and she just gets it on that. So they don't take people's tonsils out anymore.
They don't, do they?
She was like one of the last people that had them out.
Yeah, that's so weird. I find it so weird to look at throats that don't have them in. Not that I look at many throats.
But how often does that happen? I don't think I've ever seen your tonsils.
My mum doesn't have her tonsils, so sometimes I'm like, oh, can I look inside again? And it's just like...
like a chasm.
Yeah,
just like a huge cave.
Yeah, like it's just a
like,
wow, big
like a black hole.
Hit me. Tell me something. Good, bad or awkward. Where would you like to start?
I'm going to start with nothing, actually. I don't know what this... I don't know what category this... This is my bad, actually. It falls into the bad category, okay?
Okay.
As I said in last week's podcast, I fucking love puffins, right? And I'm
yes.
a big story about how much I love puffins and how I thought I'd seen a load of puffins, but I actually saw puffin statues and I was really upset because I love puffins, right? Few more people who listen to the podcast also love puffins. And someone sent me a video of a really cute puffin and I shared it on my Instagram and I was like, oh my God, I just love puffins. And somebody replied to me and she went, I haven't caught up with the podcast yet, but oh my God, fuck puffins. I spent 2 years working with those shits and have actual scars on my hands and body. They will nip and not let go. Also, waking up at 2 a.m. to something in your house and absolutely bricking it, only to find it's one of these twats has got in and got stuck in the bathroom. Ugh, they suck. I was like, right, well, never fucking mind
oh
then.
My God. Wait, what kind of puffins. Job does she have where she had to work with them?
I don't know, but she has a duck in her name on Instagram. So presumably something with ophthalmology. Hey Siri, what's ophthalmology?
Okay, I found this on the web for what's
she
ophthalmology?
She does not work in ophthalmology. Oh, hey Siri, what are people who work with birds called?
Okay. I found this on the web for what are people who work with birds called. Check it out.
Ornithology. I was close. Close, but not the girl.
Ornithologist.
Ornithology. That's what I would guess
ornithology.
She is. Ornithology.
People who work with birds. Oh
I
my
was
God,
close.
I've learned something.
I'm guessing. Me too. I'm guessing that she is an ornithologist. Either that or... well, I literally have no idea if she's not an ornithologist. I have no explanation for why this chick hates puffins so much. Also, like, maybe she just had them as colleagues. Maybe she just works in HR in an office that's just, like, full of puffins. Maybe there's just, like, a place up in, like, Greenland that just puffins just, like, head up, like, the co-op. Like,
head up the co-op.
She just had to work with them for, like, 2 years, yeah.
Oh, they're so cute. I'm just reminding.
Aren't they? No, but remember, according to the ornithologist, fuck puffins.
I don't know if we... yeah, sorry, fuck puffins. But I don't remember if we got to the bottom of this last week or not, whether they're related to penguins, because I thought they were, and also they look very similar, but...
oh, last week you said they look like... You said they look like bird penguins.
Yeah.
And you glossed over it way too quickly.
Anyway.
Fucking idiot. I actually put that as a note on my phone as well, and I've just written, and I don't know why I've written this as a note, fun puffin fact about their copy. And I think what I was trying to say is that puffins, and I don't know how I know this, so I could have dreamt it, but I'm pretty sure that puffins copy other puffins. So if you have a statue with a puffin standing on one leg, the puffin will copy the statue and will also stand on one leg.
Oh, so much empathy. That's so cute.
I know. So I'm guessing if you yawn, oh my god, I want to go and see a puffin. I want to try and yawn at a puffin and see if it yawns back at me.
You just said the word and then you put it in my head and then suddenly it's like an immediate fucking yawn.
You did it and you didn't cover your hand over your mouth and now you're doing it again. Turn away. Boo. Okay, tell me something. Is your bad that you're just in a foul mood or do you have more bads? Do you want to bring down the vibe even more? No, I'm joking.
Can I just stress? Not stress. Can I just inform everyone? Probably everyone already knows this, but penguins and puffins aren't siblings or even cousins. They're just completely different species. Anyway, did you do your bad?
Yes, my bad is that there's not everybody loves puffins and I'm absolutely gutted. Yes,
that is
terrible.
Bad times.
I was really upset. I kind of, you know, when you feel like you've jumped on something and it's like, this is a real crowd pleaser. Like, everybody loves a puffin. For example, we could put a puffin on a magnet, everyone would buy it. Nah, this girl wouldn't. Fuck puffins.
My bad. Oh God. Kind of bad/awkward. Oh, I was on the train and I was, I met a very nice woman, about to say young lady, and I was like, what the fuck am I saying? A very nice woman who happened to follow me on Instagram and we got chatting. And then a woman came and joined us, a woman in her 60s, and she's like sat across us on in the table and she was kind of listening to our convo and like laughing along and stuff and like smiling in. So I was like, oh, let's get her involved. You know, she obviously wants to like get involved. Anyway, so we started chatting. She's really nice. And then she sort of just dove into her... she'd just come back from a retreat where she fasted or had a bit of juice. I think it was like maybe a juice only retreat for 10 days. And then she proceeded to talk for like 20 minutes about how she is trying this way to lose weight, that way to lose weight, talking about how like this is the best way to lose weight. And actually she's read this and read that. And like, it was so incredibly uncomfortable because I'm never going to be like, well, actually, you know, it's just not me. I just can't do it. But the girl next to me obviously follows me and knows everything. So we're both sitting there, like I'm going redder in the face thinking like, I don't want to be rude to this woman. And I want to like, you know, when you're in a conversation and you nod along and you say, yeah. And you like, you express a bit of enthusiasm here and there. And I was like, I can't do that. So I'm looking rude. So what the hell do I do? So I just felt extremely uncomfortable, didn't know what to do. And I know many people will be like, oh, but you should have tried to like teach her or like help her and stuff. And I'm like, absolutely not. That is not it was not the right time, not the right place. It's not my place. It was just a random woman on the train. So that was incredibly uncomfortable. And I didn't get this girl's name, the one that follows me, and I don't know her handle. And so I wanted afterwards to like voice note her and be like, oh God, that was so awkward, wasn't it? But I don't even know who she is.
So depressing.
It was so depressing. It was so depressing. And
can't think of anything worse than just drinking juice for like 5 days.
She does it a lot though. Like her and her mates do it a lot. They go to boot camps. They actually go to the boot camp that I went to years and years ago, which I was the worst week of my life. And like, there was like so many red flags. Like there was a girl there that was really very, very clearly unwell and they didn't intervene and there was a lot of stuff, but she was talking about it like, oh my God, it's the best thing ever. Like you can lose like 6 pounds in a week and I'm 60 and like that's unheard of for like people in their 60s. And I was just like, oh, this is rough.
See, I'd like to go to a boot camp that was like not about how you looked or like your weight. Like I would, maybe the Hags should do one and it's like, we won't weigh you, and you eat what the fuck you want, but we could like teach cooking. I've actually always thought about doing this out in the Isle of Man. We could teach like really practical, good, nutritious meals, because it's very hard to know how to cook like grown-up food with like appropriate stuff, but that isn't in a diet culture way, because that's actually kind of really difficult, I always find. But then we could go and do like fun exercise, but like literally fun exercise. Go ape or like try running and like do it in a way that you're like outside all day and you feel very invigorated and like rosy cheeked, but you don't feel like you're on a weight loss starvation
and killing yourself
trip. Do you know what I mean? Yeah, I'd like to go on like a week long Tough Mudder type, like just fun.
Yeah,
but
well, you just don't care about how
like,
you look.
Good food, get outside loads. Just hike a bunch.
And you can, how great you can wear like the shittest clothes. Like you don't have to put any makeup on. Hair is constantly scraped back. Don't need to wash it. Like, that would be amazing. But you know what? Yeah. The boot camp I did, like, there definitely had those elements, like, those aspects to it. It's just the fact that it was paired with, like, we were eating 800 calories a day, and then you were, like, weighed, and also it was very grueling. It was, like, you weren't allowed to stop if you wanted to stop with the exercise. Like, it would be, like, it was, like, army-style military, someone screaming at you. If you stop, the rest of the group has to, like, start again. So, obviously, you're never going to fucking stop because you're like, I don't want to be the person that has to make the group start again because, like, shoot me. I'm not doing that. So, yeah. But, like, with take all that away, like, the concept of it is fun. Yeah, like a...
Yeah, I'd like to just be, like, outside and hiking for a week with, like, nice people. Oh, my God, a hag retreat would be so fun.
Oh, my God, let's do it. That sounds so fun. What if you had been in my position there on the train with that, like, talking to that woman, would you have done anything differently?
I would like to think that I'd have been like you and just respected her choices and left her to it, but I've got this, like, horrible problem with my impulse control, and I'm not very good. I'm getting better, but I'm often not very good at holding my tongue. So I actually would have, if I had the choice, I would do what you did, because she's 60 years old, she doesn't know you, you don't want to just shit on her entire life and her hobbies.
And then just get off the train, you know, and I'm gone from her life forever.
Yeah, and then be like, anyway, bye. Yeah, like, I think if we'd have been together, I would have probably said, like, oh, interestingly, actually, Al has some very, she's done a lot of research into this and she's written a great book, but I get that it's really hard to say that for yourself. So even if I wasn't with you, I might say, oh, yeah, like, you know, I've heard about that sort of thing, but I don't know. But I probably wouldn't have said it in such a lovely diplomatic way, because I'm one of those terrible people that's like, calm. Oh my God, this is a terrible thing. Why are you doing this to yourself? So I think you did the right thing. I probably would have just, like, torn the woman's life into, like, shreds, and she'd have been like, oh God, why have you done this? I had a really nice week away.
Goes home crying.
Because some people do get a bit indoctrinated into it, and you don't, they like, do. People have to come to it on their own. You can't just say, like, oh, your entire pastime is a way of this shit.
Right, like, that's just especially when it's something you're super excited about. And, like, it felt like her whole purpose in life was, like, weight loss. Like, want to look a certain way. So, yeah, it's very, very difficult. But, yeah. What's your awkward?
It's so bad. And I didn't really do it justice. I kind of touched on it the other day, and your sister was incredibly polite about it, and she didn't take the piss out of me nearly as much as what she should have done. But on Tuesday, when we were recording this interview that you're about to hear, we were in London, we were in Central, and we were at a studio, and Jen, Alex's sister, and I popped out to go and get lunch, and we went to Itsu to go and get our lunch, and I was just... You know, I can't have normal soy sauce. I have to have... I'm so embarrassed. And I'm so embarrassed. So I have to have gluten-free soy sauce because I have gluten, so I couldn't take the little bottles away. They have, like, one bottle of gluten-free things. So you have to just do it yourself. So I'm standing at, like, the checkout bit where you kind of... Like, you pay on one side, and then there's, like, a sort of... kiosk where you get, like, your chopsticks or your spoon or your fork if you are going to admit to the world that you can't use chopsticks, which I always think is quite embarrassing. And I was pouring my gluten-free soy sauce on, and this girl walked up into my periphery, and she was wearing a leopard print skirt, which, I'm going to be honest, is a light wardrobe staple item, a white shirt and a denim jacket. So shoot me for my mistake, please.
It's like my uniform.
I know. So, and you know, like, you guys share clothes as sisters, you know, so I was like, it's probably Jen. So I was pouring the soy sauce, and I was like, God, good thing they've got gluten-free soy sauce, because, you know, a lot of places don't have them. Anyway, what did you get? What have you got? Turn around to see what Jen had ordered. And it wasn't Jen. And this woman was just holding her bowl of food, looking at me like, Why do you care what I've got? And instead of saying, oh God, sorry, I thought you were my friend, or whoopsie, wrong person, I just said nothing. I just tailed off. So I was like, what have you got? Silence. Carried on pouring. I looked at the person behind this person, and that was Jen. And she didn't step in and go, oh, whoopsie, you're talking to me, ha ha, you're such an idiot. was like, hi, Em. I was like, hi, Jen. And then she was like, did you think that was me? I was like, yeah. And she was like, because it wasn't. I was like, oh my God, I have to die.
Did the woman reply to you?
No, she just looked at me like, all right, weirdo. It was so bad, but it would, I probably could have got away with it if I'd have said, oh, hee hee. But I just didn't do the oh, hee. I literally just trailed off, oh, what have you got? Silence. This is just so bad. So there was nothing, there was no like space for her to jump in and say something. There was just, I just left it and everything just died. We both just froze in time as my life ended. And then she just walked away.
That is so embarrassing. That is so embarrassing.
So, and I don't know your sister well enough to be like, oh my God, fucking shoot me in the head. So I just had to be like, not only have I embarrassed myself in front of this stranger, I've also embarrassed myself in front of Jen. I'm trying to impress at this point. It's still early. Oh. Devastating, absolutely devastating.
I would love to have the footage of that.
But equally mortifying, that day was the day that I wore my nice green Zara shirt and I got sweat patches as big as the fucking, like, moon under each arm.
You really did.
I had to walk home like I dislocated both my arms.
It's that material.
Just so embarrassing.
It's silk, right? It's that material where it's water stained. So, like, even when it's dry, it's just stained, like water stained.
Everything about me has just been awkward this week. Like, honestly, that whole day I was like, oh God, I hate myself. It's so bad. So bad.
We had such a good recording day though. I'm so excited for all those episodes to come out.
Oh my God, yeah. Today's getting, yeah.
Literally, oh, today. Oh my God, yeah. Sorry.
Yeah, it's today. Have you got anything awkward? And it won't top that.
No, so that was. Oh no, it wasn't my awkward. Oh, my awkward. Very small. But we were in the Isle of Man visiting you at your family's home, and your sister was there with her friend, and like loads of other people as well. Okay, so loads of other people. So we went out for a walk, and everyone's in their like outdoorsy kit, and from behind it's hard to differentiate. Whatever. Anyway, your sister's friend, I really liked her. Really got on well with her. And I thought, what a nice girl. She's so nice. So I thought I'd say to you as we're walking along, I really like Moose. And you just looked up and you were like, well, it's a good job because she's right there. And she was standing right there. And I don't know if I just thought it was someone else or if I just didn't. I just was paying no attention to other people being around.
You are so lucky.
I am so lucky.
Like,
I was like, I just really like her.
Because imagine if you had been like, God, Moose is really fucking difficult.
But
I really struggle with her.
I think I said, like, I really like her. She's such a nice girl. Which is, I sound like an older lady, really. It sounded very like.
You are literally 10 years older than
me. Okay, all right. Okay, that just, okay, thank you. Let's just drop back down to earth. But like the whole thing could have been glossed over, but then you were like, hey Moose, did you hear what she just said? She just said that she really likes you and you're a really nice girl. And I was like, why are you doing that, Em? Why are you doing that?
Because that's a lovely thing. This is what Harry Trebaldwin said in one of our interviews a long time ago. If you think something nice about somebody, tell them.
Tell her after. Tell her when I'm not there, because I've stood there being like, oh yeah, I did say that. Yeah, you're a really nice girl.
But that's lovely. Like, it would have been way worse if I'd been like, Moose, she thinks your feet are really ugly, or like, she thinks you've got shit, or she thinks you really smell.
It would have been horrendous.
I think it's nice to spread the love.
Yeah, no, it is. It is nice.
If I hear anybody saying something nice about somebody else, I'll always tell the person immediately. I'm like, don't tell me, tell them.
Yeah.
Like, spread the love, baby.
Preferably when I'm not right there. But yeah, that was my little awkward. What's your good?
Oh my God. Well, a few goods, because life's just pretty good. First of all, look at my nails. Like, they are.
Oh, I was going to say, your nails look great.
Agreed.
The little pink tips.
Agree.
Oh, that sounds dirty. Pink tips. Anyway.
Yeah. Just the tip. They're great. Yeah. That was my good. But then, I tell you something. Last night, I went out for a pizza with a friend of mine that I haven't seen for 3 years. And we really drifted apart, as happens in like grown-up friendships sometimes, you know, like life moves and, you know, we never fell out or anything. We just stopped really seeing each other and talking and yeah. And like, I've missed her so much. And like, yeah, last night we went, but there was just, I don't know, just, we just didn't, I don't know, it just happens, doesn't it, sometimes? And then it gets too long, and it's just been too long. And anyway, last night, me and Alex went out for dinner with her and another one of our friends, and it was literally so great. Like, it was like no time's passed. And we've made plans for in 3 weeks. I was like, oh my God, how great that we've gone from, like, 3 years between dinners to 3 weeks in between.
I love that.
Like, next time it'll be 3 days. But she hasn't changed, and it's so weird. Like, her hair's grown a bunch, but otherwise, everything's exactly the same. And it's, like, it was just the nicest time just to, like, love sit that. And, like, talk about old friends. And they used to be, like, she used to be my neighbour, like, and she and the girl we were with last night, like, literally lived around the corner. And we just had, like, so many memories about, like, all the, I mean, and thank Christ we've grown up in the time, because we used to have so many house parties at that place. And, like, just, she was like, do you remember that time we, like, scrubbed red wine off the walls for, like, hours? I was like, oh my God, yeah. But it was just, it was so lovely. And actually, my other friend who was there at dinner, who was, like, is our mutual friend, and who I've just kept seeing at various things, but she said that, like, an expression that she loves is, like, but a friend for a reason, a season, or a lifetime, which I really like.
I love that.
Yeah, so people come into your life for a reason, a season, or a lifetime. When you figure out which one it is, you will know what to do for each person. And I really like that, because I think, you know, sometimes, like, you can have friends that will just last forever and ever. And sometimes you have a friend that comes into your life at, like, just the right time and is exactly what you need at that time. And sometimes you have a friend that is just a friend for that, like, that period of your life. Like, I don't know if you're a student or you're at school or whatever. And, like, forgiving yourself for friendships changing as you get older is a really nice thing to do. And just being very accepting of, like, other adults' lives. I think I really want to do a podcast episode on friendship, because I'm so interested in it. And, like, in the way that we communicate and the way that we are and our expectations for each other and how we can hurt each other without realising and all this shit. Anyway, but it was just, it was really lovely to have an old friend back in my life again. And it's just, we just had an absolute
huge... I love that.
Yeah, it was so nice.
That's really nice to hear. And we should so do an episode on that, because I just wouldn't know where to start with that, like, who to interview. But if anyone has any suggestions...
Yeah.
Whack them in the inbox. I'll never say that again. Send us an email, please. shouldidelethatpod@gmail.com? Because I think that would be really interesting to explore, for sure.
Agree. Have you got anything good?
My good is that I have been thinking about getting a Peloton forever since Pelotons, like, came out, because obviously, like, you know what I'm like, I can't
Ladies
help
and
myself.
Gentlemen, please cast your mind back to January and the fucking drum kit.
Well, I'm already one step ahead of that, because I've been on it 3 times since I got it.
Is this going to be the yoga again, the Nidra yoga or whatever it was called?
Nidra yoga, quite possibly. But so far, I am absolutely loving it, and it's so nice. And I feel like I really got out of doing any kind of exercise. Just, I don't know, life has been, you know, life is busy for everyone, like, whatever. But, you know, you just get out of a routine and whatever, and then... reading a lot about withdrawals and, like, why do I feel so bad and, like, how can I make myself feel better, and everyone says exercise, so I was just like, fine then, I will do some exercise. And so, well, I mean, it's only 3 days in, so I'll let you know. But I'm also trying not to do that and be like, oh, I'm doing it every single day and then I'm gonna feel better, because I know what I'm like. I go, like, hell for leather. And do it, like, I'll do it twice a day, every day for 2 weeks, and then literally I'll forget it exists. So I am trying to take it slowly as well. So today's my recovery day.
I'm proud of
you. And then tomorrow I'm going to do it again. But yeah, fun. And I found this guy called Cody, you told me about. Because I had one girl who, it has to be very stimulating for me to, like, which is what I loved about, like, classes in, like, cycle classes for, like, people who live in London, and I think in Manchester they have cycle as well. But anyway, it's like, yeah, it's like a soul cycle. You might have seen it in like New York and LA as well, but it's like a nightclub in there. It's like dark and flashing lights, and then the instructors, like, and the music's really loud, and I love that because it's like so stimulating and so engaging. And then, so I needed like a good instructor. I had a girl, she was a little bit flat. So I was a bit like, I can't do this. But I found Cody and he's great. And he does a question and answer in the middle. And it's, so yeah.
Cody's the absolute tits. I love him. I've been so out of exercise. Like, I'm so upset. That should be my bad. It'll be my bad next week because I won't have done anything about it. I'm like not exercising at all. And I'm just so depressed about it. It makes me so happy, but I just haven't had the feckin' time. And I hate people that say I haven't got the time for them. You know when people say I just didn't have time for lunch. I'm like, oh fuck off, everyone's got time for lunch. But some days, like, life just feckin' runs, doesn't it?
It does, it really does.
It's all just felt so chaotic. I just need a bit of time just like sitting still, but it's so exciting. And with like the world opening up and stuff, being able to go back to the Isle of Man, so amazing, because we can work from there now because everyone works from their phones, and even Al can work from there, and it's amazing. But it does mean that you spend a lot of time out of your routine, and yeah, that's difficult.
Yeah. But it's discombobulating.
Look at you. I'm proud of you, though. Got your Peloton. Also, now the hype is so over. Like, congratulations for jumping on it so late, because they're so much cheaper now. You can buy them all, like, secondhand and everything.
Oh, okay, that's good. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, well, everybody's selling them. Well, we can bring it back. Let's bring it back.
Bring your Peloton back.
Yeah, okay, perfect. Can we introduce the best fucking guest duo ever?
Oh my god. Okay, I really settled into this episode, but at the start I was shitting my pants.
I know. And so we've got the girls from Come Curious on today. They host a podcast called Foxgiven. And last Thursday's episode, I was listening to it on the way back from the Isle of Man, and in the first 5 minutes of the episode, Reed was talking about the UTI she'd got from the holiday sex where sun cream had got where it shouldn't, and the hemorrhoids she'd got from anal done wrong. And I literally was like, oh my god, Alex Light is going to have an aneurysm when these girls sit down and she has to talk to them. But it was so good. And what we wanted this episode to be was a lot of listener questions. But to be honest with you, we had so many of our own questions. Listener questions came in late. So, good news, they're coming back.
They've got to come back. We have so many questions.
So many questions. And we just know already that today's episode is going to be so popular. So they've agreed. We made them promise. It's actually kind of tragic because they were leaving. We were like, can you just promise that you'll come?
We said it like seven times.
Yeah, we said it way too many times. That should have been both of our awkward. It was incredible. Like, we should have left it at the one, just like chill, friendly. But we didn't. We made it weird. Yeah. Anyway, it's so brilliant. We absolutely adore them. They're great to follow on Instagram, and you definitely need to check out their podcast as well.
I fucking loved it. I've never spoken to two people or anyone who is so sexually liberated as them, and it was just an absolute eye-opener for me and like fascinating. And I literally like hung on to their every word. I was like fully like engaged, like, this is the best interview, like, best. I just love
Al's jaw was like on the floor the whole episode. I'm picking it back up again. It was so good. I'm so excited. So guys, I hope you really enjoy it. We absolutely adore these women, and we just know that you will as well. That's it. Let's stop talking about it. Let's let the good people listen to the good episode.
Here are Reed and Florence.
Hi guys, thanks so much for coming.
Hello. Wow, that was like right in there. I was like, whoa, we're off.
Well, no floor. I was gonna say floor play. No foreplay. Welcome. I'm sorry. I've just gone in.
Quick penetration.
My favourite, yeah. In it with the penetration. Woo! I am so excited to be doing this episode. Al said I had to take the lead because she was uncomfortable, which is exactly...
I'm not uncomfortable.
Please. Okay, you go.
You're like, no, it's all yours.
Oh, not uncomfortable, eh?
No, I'm really happy to be here.
I'm so excited.
I love your podcast.
Oh, like, thank you.
There's just no holding back. No. On anything.
I think that was the point of creating Foxgiven.
It was,
I mean, on every other platform, we've been banned and barred and had issues because we want to talk about sex and want to educate and help other people feel comfortable. And podcasting kind of allowed us to just go in and talk
about anything we want. It's so great.
And it's like therapy. Yeah. We always say, if there's something that we're a little bit nervous about talking about, say it loudly and proudly on the podcast and make it into a thing and talk about it and understand it.
Yeah.
And yeah, we go in. in.
You really feel like that on the balance though, listening, because like, and I, again, only knowing like recently, but like hearing like read that was been like quite heavy on like your sex, but then Florence, you were talking about like your want in a relationship. Yeah. And it's really nice that you can hear like both sides, like, yeah, there's like sex is a big part of it, but you're also talking about like the way that our brains like instinctively leap when we get certain messages or whatever. And it's really nice that it's like, I don't know, because I guess sometimes like certain things sexually can sound quite unrelatable to people who aren't having that sort of sex, but everybody's been in a position with a relationship maybe, or with boys or girls or whatever.
I think we've always kind of been like that as well, kind of like a yin and a yang. So whenever one person's going through something, the other person's going through another, whether that's like a breakup or their sexual liberation.
Yeah, and I think it works well because, you know, like we're two white women talking about sex, and not everybody, especially because we are so sex positive on our podcast, we try really hard not to make sex into the be all and end all, even though it is basically what the whole podcast is about, but we don't want to exclude anyone, especially people who can't achieve orgasms or people who don't enjoy sex or maybe suffer from vaginismus or something. We try really hard to have a broad spectrum of what we talk about on the pod to include everyone, but even though the main thing is sex.
Just having great sex.
Yeah.
And bad
always,
sex.
I was going to say, not always great sex. Yeah. We can't always toot our own horn at that. Sometimes it's fucking shocking.
Oh my God, I've had some really bad sex this year, I would say.
Have you? Just this year?
Yeah.
But how bad?
Just like really unconnected, very like awkward, I want this to finish. Mm-hmm. Like those weird like first dates that end up in sex, I thought that's what I wanted and then it wasn't.
Mm-hmm. Or like you always give them the second chance, like, date's not going well, maybe they'll bring it round in the fuck.
No, you should have listened to your gut.
They absolutely don't.
Do you think many of them listen to the podcast?
I do wonder.
Yeah, I think some of them must do.
I was thinking
they must do.
You, Florence, you were talking about how you'd given a boy your Insta handle and then gone on a date with him. Or no, you texted him afterwards or whatever. And I was like, surely he'll listen. Yeah. Like, they've got enough ego, most men, that they'll be like, I wonder
100%.
Or even, I mean, also, I would. If I found somebody out of podcast, they were talking about sex.
Oh my God.
Yeah, I didn't even think about it
immediately. Curiosity, I'd be like, I've got to know what she said about me.
Yeah.
Do you think it makes you intimidating to have sex with?
I think so, absolutely. On the dating apps, when I was single, I mean, I'm still on dating apps now because I'm in a non-monogamous relationship, but you're constantly trying to decide whether or not you're completely honest about who you are, what you do, sex podcast, you know, do the social media thing, big on Instagram and YouTube and all that, or whether or not you play it safe and whether it scares people away. And we've kind of come to the conclusion that being honest about it from the get-go is important because that's who we are. And if you're intimidated, that's almost like, you know, you've failed the first interview stage. Like, we don't want anything to do with you. It's
up to them whether they indulge in it, and if they want to listen, then they can listen. The guy that I've been dating recently decided that he just wasn't going to listen to any of it, which I don't know how I feel about as well, because I'm like, it's part of me, so if you are really interested in me, then you would listen to it.
And also, you want someone to support what you do through and through. It's really hard. It's still hard trying to figure that element out. There are some times when I talk about my boyfriend on there and I have to give him a little trigger warning, like, I spoke about this situation, or I spoke about an ex or somebody that I had sex with, just to let you know before you listen. If you do listen, then it might create some kind of feeling.
Well, it's not even just the sex podcast as well. It's like, we both do OnlyFans, so when someone dates us, they have to be
okay with the sex work side.
They have to be so open.
Yeah.
And what's the usual response?
Most people are intrigued, I would say, to start off with. Then I think...
Then when it comes to like, I need to actually introduce you to my friends and my family and think about lifelong things. Like, am I okay with this? Especially at the beginning, you don't really think that far ahead. Mm-hmm. That can become quite complicated.
Yeah. My dad told me I'd never meet someone that was okay with it.
Oh, fucking thanks, Dad. Nice one, bro.
Oh my gosh, Jesus. Cheers.
I have to. That's my own curiosity. How are your families with what you do?
My mum is one of our biggest fans.
She
really loves what we do, and she's kind of like, I think, learned along the way with what we do. And she, you know, she ended up coming to a sex workers protest with me in LA once, and like learn about like why people were doing sex work, and she was really positive about that. And my dad, on the other hand, has always been like, oh, you just, you know, you just work in the sex industry, and like
just has,
you know,
no
you're way too intelligent to do this kind of work, Florence, and blah, blah, blah. yeah
it's not great. Maybe he'll change his mind at some point, but we'll see.
Yeah, he's an old man, like, I don't
that's true
so.
Old white dude. Does it test your relationship with him?
Definitely, yeah, it has over the past, because I think everyone at the end of it just wants support from their parents.
Yeah, of course.
That's what the child within us wants. We want our like parents to be proud of us and stuff. So we've had conversations in the past where he's like, you know, I just don't think that I need to be proud of you. Oh. And obviously, like, that was like,
where's my therapist? Quickly.
Yeah.
Shit, that's hard.
It
that's
is
really
hard
to hear.
Yeah.
A lot of dads are shit. My dad is almost the same, less verbal, but he just has no interest in what I do. He's just like, oh, okay, cool. All right. Same diff. I think most male men do dads like that. They just don't get it, or they're just like, they don't want to think about their daughter and sex because they just reflect, they're projecting, they see themselves in the way that they treated women.
I think that's a big
and then
part,
they think that everyone else is going to treat them like that, and it's like no, let's show you a different way.
Yeah. And how's your mom about it?
I actually had a conversation recently with her about her following my Instagram stories, because I had removed her, you know, like blocked my mum and my brother from seeing them, and I was like, why am I doing that? Because every time I tag them in something, and I have my family on my stories quite a bit, and I have them on my Instagram quite a bit. And I was like, why am I blocking them? You know, what am I afraid of them seeing? Had the conversation with them and took them both off of the blocking thing. And I was like, you know, do you see my stories? And my mum was like, yeah, I see them. Sometimes they're okay. And I'm like, well, you know, just to be aware, you know, I'm not going to filter myself because you're watching them. So she was like, oh, it's okay. I take them with a pinch of salt. It's like, okay, thanks, mum. All right.
I blocked my whole family from my Instagram.
Yeah.
Apart from my mum. My mum's like okay on it, but my dad, his girlfriend, my granny, my auntie, like everyone,
Yeah, it's hard because you don't want to do that, but then also you don't want to hold your real self back from your social media.
Yeah.
Especially if you want to promote OnlyFans or sex-related stuff, or talk about a big life sexual experience or something like that. You don't want to, but unfortunately, sometimes you have to. Sometimes family members don't get it, and that's okay. You know, you can't expect everyone to be supportive because of their upbringing and their triggers and what they've been taught or maybe brainwashed with, or whatever you want to see it. But if they want to be open about it, they will try their best. They will learn, even if what they say can be offensive sometimes.
I think it's really, like, really cool. And I was just thinking about that. I was like, I'd just for my parents' listening, I'd be like, I'd be devastated. Like, but then I'm so pleased that you're doing it, because I'm like, thank fuck someone is, because I just love it. Like, I just think even like your Instagram is just, and even with, you know, like censorship and things that you can't share everything, even what you do share is so refreshing in that it's very honest. And
thank you.
I think what you share as well is like, that it can be quite messy. And I'm like, all of it. Like, I think, you know, we have such a depiction of sex through porn, and we imagine women to look a certain way and behave a certain way. And it's definitely all through like the male gaze. But you two definitely prioritize what you both want. And that is a perspective that I've never seen anywhere before. And you're just existing as normal, complicated human beings with this side of you, which is so great, because when men tell the story, you get a one-dimensional, like, her breasts bounced and her, like, long blonde hair, like, floated down her back, whereas you guys are, like warts and all, which is just so refreshing.
Detail. Yeah, thank you. I mean, that's our origin story. We met working on a porn set together.
I wanted to know how you met.
Okay, can we hear the story?
This come up? Because starting our podcast was one thing, but surely there must have been something for you guys.
Yeah, so
hey,
I think,
do you want to talk about sex forever?
Origin story is quite different.
Forever. It's like getting married, like the engagement. Want to talk about sex forever?
Yeah, we didn't really know what we were doing. We didn't know what we were getting ourselves into. issue. I think both of us originally really wanted to be feminist porn directors. Mm. And that's kind of how we met. I ended up in this like seedy little porn studio in Marylebone in London. And yeah, you came in as like my mentor to kind of like teach me, because you've been shooting your own porn.
Like self-shooting.
Mm. Well, we both have degrees. This, I think, shocks people because it's like we chose the sex worker life, but we have degrees in film production and TV production. Mm. And I was filming my own pornography and like producing it. But again, I was still just stabbing in the dark, didn't really know what I was doing. Found this job that was like going to pay me £25 an hour. I was like, all right, you know, okay, what? And it was dodgy AF.
Oh,
like,
it was so dodgy.
But, yeah. But from the shitness, you know, we found each other and mm-hmm. we ended up moving in together, talking about sex constantly every single night with a cup of tea in our dressing gowns, because, you know, London's fucking cold most of the time unless you're in a heat wave, and decided to chuck it up on YouTube. And we just started putting our conversations up on YouTube and realizing that it wasn't just us doing it for fun, it was actually genuinely helping people. Yeah. We're like, oh shit, people actually are listening to us, and this can be life-changing for some people. We ended up getting this amazing email from this girl over in Scandinavia who was saying that she had just got out of an abusive relationship and was like her mental health was bad, contemplating suicide, but then found our YouTube channel and it basically helped her regain her sexuality and how she felt about herself, her identity. And both Florence and I were like, oh fuck,
we better keep doing this.
Yeah, we've got to keep this up.
That's amazing.
And that was like 8 years ago from now.
Because ultimately it was just because it was making us feel more comfortable in our bodies. And like, we were talking about, you know, like nipple hairs, vaginal discharge, all those things that no one ever talks about. And you're like, is this normal? And normalizing it between us, we were like, oh my god, I suddenly feel like, you know, way more confident about my body and way more confident going into sexual experiences. So we thought, you know, if this conversation is making us feel good personally, individually, then maybe spreading the conversation will help other people. And that's like, that's the mission, really. It's just to get people talking, because talking is the first step of having a better relationship with yourself, your body, and all the partners that come into your life.
Yeah, it's like we need a big tattoo on our foreheads. Like, communication is key. I think that is the whole point of sex. You can't have good, fun experiences if you aren't open to talking about them. Yeah. Before, after, during, like the whole shebang, you need to do that. And we hope that we help give people the tools to be able to do that, even if that is just starting off with your own personal confidence.
Well, that's it. I think a lot of people feel like sex is something that's dirty and bad. As long as you feel like that about sex in general, you're never going to be able to enjoy it fully yourself, because you're always going to feel like you're doing something wrong. And that's like, I mean, I guess that stems with like sex ed, but I guess Christianity and like
religion, everything.
Yeah. Like it's laced into everything. And obviously as well, there's like a huge dollop of misogyny on the side that it's just like women shouldn't be allowed to enjoy sex at all. And it's like, I don't know. I think it's a really like, I don't know if it's a new wave. I don't know what it's called, like, but it's a very like brazen enjoyment of sex feels incredibly empowering in a feminist way.
Yeah.
So you said you wanted to do feminist porn.
Yeah. Yeah. So we have to. We are educational, ethical porn directors. We had a series out with Ex Confessions with Erica Lust. We had to stop that, unfortunately, but we're hoping to get back on the horse at some point. It was so much fun.
It was literally, I think when we were on set, I was feeling like, oh my god, this is like one of the best days of my life. Like, it was just so fun. The family vibe on set when you're shooting porn is just something else, because it's like just so much like raw kind of vulnerability, but everyone's kind of in it together. And I don't know, it was beautiful. We did, and there were kind of educational pieces that we did. It was tips and tricks for sucking dicks was the first one, and then tips and tricks for licking clits was the second one.
And the plan was to do more, you know, going through like BDSM, anal, penetrative sex, all that kind of stuff. And we pride ourselves on making it ethical, because we have seen what it's like in an unethical porn scenario, and we know that porn is so fucked anyway. There are so many issues with the porn industry. It is literally the Wild West. You know, anyone with a phone
could call themselves a director now. And that's terrifying for a lot of impressionable and vulnerable people. And we try really hard, if we, you know, if we plan to make more porn again, when we did make porn, to pay people correctly and to make sure that it's an environment where someone has the ability to say, I'm not comfortable with this, if they don't want to, when there isn't that. I've seen on so many sites, like, I've worked in commercial porn, worked for like big names, and it's just, yeah, it's horrible, really, watching it. You think the women are empowered and in control, and they're just not. And it's so, it's like that with every other industry, though, you know. It's like, oh, you know, equality, but really it's like all the cis white dudes making all the decisions, and you can't really say shit or do anything to change it. Yeah, making all the goddamn money.
But what's it like on a porn set? Is it sexy? Or is it like, you know, they say like on movie sets where they do the sex scenes, they're like, it's the least sexy thing ever.
Yeah.
What's it like in porn?
It really depends on the set.
It does.
I think it depends on how real and how like into it the performers are, because I think for a lot of performers it is work for them, you know. It's like any other day, we'll turn up and we have like, we're in a bad mood, we're feeling shit, we're not feeling good, and then we suddenly have to fuck somebody on camera in front of a crew. Maybe we're not feeling it.
It's a big ask.
Yeah.
It's a big ask.
You think that you'd be turned on, but most of the time you're not. It just becomes really normal.
It is work. Yeah.
You just see people doing stuff in front of you and it's like, oh, you know, like we do that at home sometimes. Yeah. And it just becomes really normal, and you don't think that it's going to be that way. But I think like there was a couple of times when we were doing our shoots where I was just like, this is fucking hot.
Well, this is why ethical porn works, because
those
days where you are feeling yourself and you're dressed well and you're with a family, a group of people that are celebrating you and empowering you to do what you enjoy, and then you are more relaxed to enjoy the scene itself. And when a scene is good, when there's good chemistry, and when you fall into it and you're like, oh my god, they're really enjoying this is really, really fun and nice to watch. And it can be fucking hot. You're sitting there like, oh my god, I need to go to the toilet for a wank.
Love that, normal working day.
Gotta stay professional though.
I never wank over them unless it's like, you know, consent, right? if it's after the porn film, right? That's right.
Once it's all edited and stuff.
I was gonna say, wait, that's bullshit. Like, we wank over people in our imaginations all the time.
So by now you will all already know how much I love self-love, which is why I am so excited about today's podcast sponsor. With 5,000 plus reviews and counting, it looks like Vush's Empress 2 is the best way to treat yourself to some lovin'. And good news, they now have 50% off for our Should I Delete That listeners with code SIDT50.
What a win. That is £65 in savings.
But not only that, this month they have launched their I Come First challenge, a 30-day masturbation challenge that challenges you to put yourself first for 30 days to see both mental and physical improvements.
That's amazing. I feel like everyone deserves to love themselves a little bit more at the moment, and this challenge is such a great way to prove to yourself how important self-love is.
Definitely. All you need to do to be part of this challenge is head to www.voshstimulation.com and check out with code SIDT50 for 50% off your Empress 2. After that, the challenge begins. Good luck, besties.
This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Oh my god, we've got so many questions for you. I don't even know where to start. And
I have two personal questions.
Go on.
Amazing.
Okay. Have you guys ever been in a relationship, or is that a part of your relationship? I'm just so curious.
Oh my god. I swear, like, you're trolling us right now. You're the comments on YouTube being like, are you two lesbians, please? Do you touch pussy?
Everyone wants us to be together.
Yeah, and I love you to pieces.
But no.
Okay. We're sisters. We're sisters.
We have a very, very sisterly relationship. Yeah. When we were in Hedonism in Jamaica, which is this like nudist sex hotel, I had the opportunity to like watch whilst you were playing, because I was in a relationship and I couldn't get involved, basically. And I started watching Reed getting, like, fucked by these...
It started off with two people, like, and then a third came in. Yeah. And then
they were sucking your feet, and, like, someone was going down on you. And I was like, oh. Guys, I'm going to go.
Really? You're like, I can't
see her being
fascinating. Because I was listening to an episode of the podcast yesterday, and forgive me for putting you on blast on this one, but you were saying about having had a genital wart frozen off. And
yeah,
then you said,
my genital wart.
I'll show you next time we're naked. And I was like, that is something that Al and I, as other podcast hosts, have never said to each other and probably never will.
We're very comfortable with each other.
Yeah, we can be naked around each other all the time. And yeah, it'll be like, there's something weird in my bum hole. Can you please have a look? Yeah. And Florence will be like, okay, look for you. I'm like, please help me.
Yeah, we've done OnlyFans content together, but nothing like, we've never made out. We've never done
no,
anything
we've never
like
made
that.
Out. No. We've done like implied stuff.
Yeah, I just don't think that would be hot. Right.
Implied nude, no.
We're too close now.
Yeah, it is literally, it would literally be like doing something with your sibling or really, really close best friend.
Okay, I have another personal question and then I can send you over to Al. you really talked about, again in your podcast, because I'm like a super stalker fan, about how your relationship is now not monogamous.
Yes.
And how you're going, so you, I, from what I understand, you were in a monogamous relationship and now it's becoming non-monogamous.
No. So I was...
Well, it was quite monogamous to start off with.
Yeah, it started. So my ex and I were together for about 7 years. And at the beginning, it was monogamous. And of course, like when you're in love, you don't really see anyone else. You've got that tunnel vision. Mm. And then as our relationship grew, we kind of tried out non-monogamy together. Slowly, we're talking baby steps. I think a lot of people think with non-monogamy or open relationships, it's like, you just go and have to fuck someone and see what that's like. And it's like, no. You have to take it bit by bit, step by step, to really see how both of you feel about the situation. Mm. And Thomas and I were non-monogamous. There were times where we fluctuated where I wanted to fuck somebody and he didn't, or vice versa. But I would consider that relationship non-monogamous by the end. And then I did the same with Sam when I met him. He was almost, I'd say, strictly not monogamous. Probably, you know, main issues because of like jealousy and worries about how he would feel. And bit by bit, step by step, we've sort of moved into a non-monogamous relationship. And I think he's happy saying that we're non-monogamous now, because non-monogamy is the umbrella term for something that isn't just two people. So it can be literally, you make the rules with non-monogamy. It can be anything that you desire. It could be, you know, we're monogamous, but one of them gets off and kisses other people. That's non-monogamy. Flirting and texting other people, that's non-monogamy. Or going off and having orgies, threesomes, foursomes, moresomes, going to sex parties. And even if it's not sex related, it really is down to you. You both make the rules, and the rules change and ebb and flow as you both go along and you figure it out together.
Mm. I think non-monogamy is fascinating for a lot of people, myself included, because it's so drummed into us, isn't it? And am I right in saying that monogamy is just a social construct? Like, it's just a societal thing that we've learned, and like, I guess we don't know, do we?
It's so hard to say.
Yeah.
I would say I believe so. You know, I wish I could remember his name, some fancy scientists that were talking about us as humans. I mean, you think about why we're on the planet is literally to breed and spread and grow, right?
Yeah.
So it doesn't really make sense why we'd be monogamous if the whole point is just to create more babies with loads of other people.
Although there are loads of animals on the planet that do
that
monogamous
very
relationships.
True. Very
and
true.
I feel
birds,
like
especially guillemots mate for life.
Yeah.
A lot of birds that last do. Week on the boat
but
trip.
on the other side of that, a lot of birds mate for life, but they also go off and cheat on their birds. Apparently,
that's, yeah, that's it might just be a non-monogamous relationship. You don't know.
Yeah, they might be open.
You don't know the communication avenues between.
Yeah, they're really cool with it. They're
good communicators,
like,
those birds. Yeah.
but there's nothing wrong with monogamy. I feel like people no. look up to non-monogamy as like, oh, that's so cool, it's the next step. It really isn't. Yeah. I feel like it's a lifestyle choice as much as like okay, your sexuality or your gender.
I think people get insecure
is.
As well and would then project it. Like, I think a lot of people would be quite judgmental because they wouldn't like it if their partner did that.
Yeah.
But that's like between you and your partner, you know what I mean? Like, so for other people, like for me personally, I'm not organized enough. I think I'd be a bit overwhelmed. I'm good with one pair. I think it would be a bit overwhelming. I don't think it's in the cards for me.
Also,
but
it depends on how much you like love sex and like how important that is in your life. Because
mm-hmm.
yeah. otherwise, like, you know, you might only need it from one person and that's okay.
Yeah. yeah. Do you feel good in your relationship now? Is it like, is this something that you prefer in terms of having relationship?
I don't think I could have a relationship that was monogamous. I don't think that would compute in my head. There
really?
Are times in relationships where I am monogamous, where, you know, again, tunnel vision, you don't really notice anyone else, but I feel like monogamy is like almost like part of my DNA and who I am. I can't imagine, you know, when I think about my future, I can't ever imagine being married to one person. I always imagine like a group of people, a polyamory or some kind of just like loving relationship between a lot of people where it all works and everything's beautiful and we all look after the kids. Like, that's my dream. But I know it's a very hard dream to achieve when, you know, a relationship between two people is difficult, is hard, let alone yeah. extra yeah. people. That's complicated as hell.
And who's the children?
Yeah.
Oh, well. This is probably a stupid question, but, like,
It's a tongue twister. They didn't make it easy for us.
When you go non-monogamous, is that right?
Yeah,
now I've said it too many times and it sounds
yeah.
weird. Where do you, like, find other people? Because I can imagine me doing it and then just being like, I'm going to go non-monogamous, and then I'm like, I can't find anyone. So I'm just going to go like, I'm just going to come back alone. Like, is it like through apps or?
You call it the scene. Being in the scene,
okay.
there is, you.
Oh, the scene.
Kind of a scene. It's okay. like, it's kind of the people that go to sex parties, that go to fetish parties. They are more
yeah.
likely going to be open to the idea of being non-monogamous.
Right.
And also one of our favourite apps, mm-hmm. Field. We love Field. Field, spelled F-E-E-L-D, is an app that really caters towards non-monogamy. I mean, it's great to find sexually liberated, like-minded people on there. I only use that app. I stay well away from Tinder and Hinge and all that. Not to say you can't find great people and like-minded people on there, but Field, it allows you to have, you can create a
joint profiles.
Thank you. Joint profiles. So I can have my profile, Sam can have his profile, and you can connect them together. So if someone's looking at your profile, it will show that you have a partner.
Mm-hmm.
It's very, very positive towards non-conforming
cool. yeah.
relationships.
And it's really kind fun. Of feels like the way that, I've literally been with my husband for longer than dating apps didn't even exist when we got together. So
amazing.
I have no authority or experience on it. But I get the impression, particularly with Tinder, where it's so just seedy in the way that it doesn't actually feel particularly in line with the way that even you describe the sexual experiences or encounters that you have and the communication that's so important. It kind of feels like you want to take it more seriously. I don't know if like the scene allows that.
I mean,
more.
You're always going to get dickheads on every single profile. You're going to get people that can't communicate properly, that ghost, that do all the bad things.
Yeah.
I just find it just happens way more on Tinder. Tinder has this sort of air of people go on there very disrespectful.
Yeah.
They're on there to fuck. You go on Tinder to fuck, not necessarily to find a relationship. Hinge is a bit more relationshipy, but Field, I rarely have a terrible experience on Field, and I feel like they're just a little bit more tuned in on how to communicate and how to do sex well. I've had terrible sexual experiences on there, but there's still a lot of understanding and communication. And again, a lot of people are open to the idea of going to sex parties, having threesomes or moresomes.
Can I ask about your first sex party? I want to know I've never been. Have you been to sex? Obviously,
what
you haven't.
What fucking thing? No.
You should both come with us just
shit.
To see.
I would actually love to see. Can we go?
My family still can't say the word sex. We say S-E-X.
Oh, no.
No, there is a lot of shame in my Catholic family.
I'm actually going on my first ever sex party this weekend.
You're going to your first
one? The first one that I've like been able to take part in, because hedonism, I wasn't able to because I was in a relationship. So I'm really excited. And I can't believe I've never done it before either.
No, this is exciting. What are you going to wear?
So exciting.
Is that a stupid question? Do you wear things?
Well, yeah. I have some arseless chaps.
I have some arseless chaps. I could go.
Love that.
Don't know why I have them.
So nice like lingerie underneath. And I bought this like cowboy hat. Well, I was away last, so I want to wear that as well.
Yeah,
go the whole look.
I love that there's like a full schedule and like calendar for it.
Sex parties and fetish parties are very similar in that the only difference is that you dress up in latex leather gear for a fetish party. Mm. Sex parties, depending on which one you go to, people, especially if you're not into fetish or kink wear, it can be a little bit easier to go to a sex party because you dress up in a nice sexy dress or just go in lingerie and then the dudes are in suits or you have to dress up.
I don't know if I like those kind of sex parties. Vibe doesn't appeal to me. Yeah, but
it's a different vibe.
The costumes in general don't appeal to me in sex parties. I wish I could just turn up, you know, wearing what I'm wearing now.
Normal stuff.
Regular Joe. Then
we should do like sex house parties. That would be dope.
That would be sick.
Yeah.
Is there a way of knowing?
Yeah.
Is there a way of knowing when you go to a sex party, like who is up for what and like up for, do you know what I mean? Like what if you just want to go to like look or like watch and stuff?
Yeah.
And then is there a way of being like, don't touch me?
Yeah.
Or is there a lot of like...
People are really... To quite say it like that.
don't touch me.
Don't touch me.
But no, that's perfectly acceptable.
Is it?
Honestly, you will be more respected than you have ever been in any club at a sex party.
I was going to say,
people are on it
Everyone's
with
a lot of consent.
And there's always moderators walking around and people that are aware of boundaries and consent. You know, like before you go to these sex parties that... Sometimes you get grilled for it. You know, they're asking you questions. They're vetting you beforehand.
Yeah, I think with Crossbreed, they ask you like a whole list of questions to make sure you're someone that's not going to just go in and, you know, take advantage of people without talking to them first.
Mm. And they have people, moderators that like walk around and they, you know, that look out for awkward situations because it can happen. But if you want to go and you want to do something with someone, you just ask. You have a conversation with them and that's very normalised. Yeah.
When I was at the hedonism one, a couple of times people came up to me, asked me if I wanted to play. And as soon as I said no, like I'm in a relationship and I'm not, I'm just watching basically. Yeah. They were like, oh, that's totally cool. And, you know, invited me. They were like, if you change your mind, just let us know. But like absolutely no pressure. We can just hang out and have a good time.
Yeah, the respect levels.
The respect is amazing. Like I've never met anyone as nice as people at sex parties.
Yeah.
They're so amazing.
Okay, I just have questions about sex parties now. Like, do you just like... Because in my head, it's like you just walk in and there's just... You guys watch Boys? Yeah.
The Boys.
Okay. In my head, and it's like, you're all just like... everywhere. Is it like that?
That can happen, but that normally happens after about midnight to one.
Okay.
So you go in and it's just like a normal club night. You know, you go in, people look amazing because they've really put the effort in. There's music playing, people are having a drink, a lot of people are chatting. Maybe a couple of people have started. You might hear some like spanks in the distance. couple of people walking around maybe topless or a bit naked. But it's normally as the night goes on, then it can turn into that kind of scene, but that was like magnified.
Okay.
I have seen those scenes before.
Yeah.
Especially at hedonism.
You were part of a 12-person orgy there.
12-person orgy.
12-person.
Yeah.
How's that even work?
That's crazy.
What? You have 4 hands.
I know.
Well, 2 hands.
4. Oh my God. I wish I had 4 hands. That would just make life so much easier. Woo.
I meant like 4 receptacles. Like 2 hands, a mouth, and you. 5.
Five. All right. Yeah, you're right.
You're still the 7. You're missing people out the unaccounted legs. For. What are you doing with your legs?
You could say
scrap that. Thank you.
Give someone a foot job. One of my faves.
You're still 6 short.
12 people.
Yeah. So again, a 12-person orgy. You're not all fucking. Like one every person. Single orifice at the same time. It's a 12-person, you know, everyone's involved and they're, you know, you're just mixing around with each other. But people are off on the side taking breaks. People are watching. Are going in. You know, it's... It, it's a really nice environment, but you're going in there and you're just, it can be a bit of a sensory overload, which is why a lot of people like them, because you don't know what you're doing. You're suddenly sucking a tit and you've got your hand and it's just like, there's a lot going on. I personally cannot orgasm during a situation like that. I even find it hard in a threesome, but I'm there because I'm enjoying the actual experience of it. My mind is like, this is crazy and I'm loving it, but it's not necessarily pleasurable in the physical sense. It's just, there's just a lot going on.
I can't
it's pleasurable
wait
in the mental sense
for this weekend.
Yes,
I can't wait to hear
God,
about it.
We should have done the podcast after you'd been.
Please. Yeah. Yeah. You'll do it. You'll talk about it on your podcast, won't you?
Oh, 100%.
Okay, I'm so listening. Yeah.
I'm excited for going. You. Do you have any like limits? Yes or no? Are you just gonna go with the flow?
I'm just gonna go with the flow. Okay. I definitely want to make out with some girls.
Yes.
Okay. That's one of my top priorities. And then other than that, just see where the evening takes me.
Just make out with girls, or
that's the one thing I want to tick off the list.
Okay,
but I would love to do loads of other things.
I mean, maybe not like tick off the list, but you are going through a bi awakening at the moment.
Yes.
Are you? Yeah,
yeah. So I'm quite excited.
It's exciting.
Oh, okay,
I'm so proud.
You get to explore that.
I feel like proud mama. I can't wait.
I was literally watching the new L Word last night. I used to watch that when I was 21 or something, and that was the first time I realized, I was just like, relationships between women are actually like a real thing.
Yeah.
And it's fucking hot.
It's hard. There's still a lot of like homophobia with bisexuality.
I always said hot, not hard, but yeah. Oh,
yeah. It is hot.
But it's also hard.
I think it's like insane that, you know, 21 and we're actually going, oh, this is a real thing, rather than it just should be something that we're brought up with.
I grew up in Brighton, which is the craziest part of it, but I always just had like such a stereotypical vision of my future that was just going to be like husband and children, very, very traditional.
Did that still coexist even when you wanted to go into porn? Did you still have like husband and children?
Yeah. I mean, I still have, I'm pansexual and I still... what I mainly masturbate over is dick. But that doesn't stop me from being pansexual just because I've never had a relationship with any other person than a cis man doesn't mean that makes me any less pansexual. But there's a lot of imposter syndrome and internalized homophobia. And a long time I felt guilty for being like, I can't call myself bi or pansexual because I've never had a girlfriend before. And I have, you know, you have to really prove to yourself that that doesn't mean anything. You know, me using the example of a straight guy kissing another guy doesn't make him any less straight. It doesn't change his sexuality unless he's really into kissing that other guy. He could just be show kissing the guy. It's your sexuality is your own and it is what you make
it's
of it.
True, people are so literal, aren't they? They're like, well, if you haven't had a relationship with a woman, if you're not with a woman, how can you be? Like, it doesn't make sense. Yeah. People are just so literal with that.
People just love the judgment, don't they?
Yeah. It's so confusing as well when you've got two options because you're like, but I really love dick, but I'd like to explore that. Then it's really hard and then you end up going for the easy option, which is usually men.
Yeah,
because like it's easy. A good place. It's like a buffet.
Just test the water. Like a buffet.
Yeah, it's not like a menu. You've got to order. You can just like a graze table.
Yeah, yeah.
Do you want to ask some of the questions?
Yes, we've got so many. Alex put
up a question box on our Instagram yesterday, and then I got a text like 2 minutes later, being like, "Fuck, there's so many.
What have I done?
2 minutes. Opened.
Okay.
People just want to talk. It's what we were saying earlier about like the shame. People want to talk about sex so badly, and we phrased the question as like, what's a question about sex that you just don't know who to ask?
Yeah.
Because that's like one of the biggest things that I find or like, even like I'll have friends for like years and years and years and then you realise you've like never spoken about sex with them. And it's like, isn't that wild? But most people don't. And like, and a lot of these questions, you can't just Google them.
It breaks my heart. I feel like if you're not talking about sex, then you must be so caught up in your own head about your own sex. Yeah. And you must think that you're doing things wrong or you think you're weird. And then that stops you and stunts you from your own pleasure. I mean, I've done the same for years. I've literally buried deep down one of my fetishes, and a fetish and a kink, they're two different things. A fetish is something that's like more hard-coded. It's more like... serious. It's more like something that you cannot achieve arousal or sexual pleasure without thinking about it or doing. it. Not many women have fetishes. It's very much a male thing because I think it's to do with more visual aids. But I buried that deep down for years and years, and only in the past couple of years, probably with the help of our YouTube channel and our podcast, have I felt comfortable enough to really own it. Not just like say I have a tickle fetish, but do work on it. And since then, the amount of people that message me being like, thank you for normalizing this. Thank you for talking about my, I've never told a soul. And you're the first person I've told that I have this fetish. Or so many people have fetishes as well, and they don't have it in them to talk about them. And it makes me so sad thinking, like, I think about my old self who wasn't comfortable talking about it. It was like, all that fun and pleasure you could have been having, and you're not having it.
And it's not,
and now
just,
you are.
It's not just a question as well of not having it. It's also, it's like instead of it, you've just got a lump of like shame and sadness.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like it's not like you're just missing the fun. You also have the bad thing as well. That's
the bad thing wrong with you. Yeah. And there's always that piece of you that's just like, you know, being eaten away at that you can't be fully honest about. And it's when I finally came out about it, I was like, oh my God, I'm whole. I feel like the real me. I feel like I'm finally able to just love the full version of me forever. And that, it was life-changing. It really was.
Okay, so the questions, I would say about 30% of these questions are about female ejaculation.
Wow,
and squirting.
That's
people
fascinating.
People very confused, very lost, very don't understand but want to understand. What is it? Is it real? Is it a myth? Is it possible? Is it... we like what is it there, like we, there is a lot of confusion around it. Can you shed any light on this?
Oh yes.
have you ever squirted, Reed?
Yes, but only when, like, only twice when I was young and using sex toys for the first time by myself. I haven't been able to squirt with anyone else actually since then, probably because of the shame and stigma, and it's made a mental blockage in my head. But basically, the answer is yes to all those things. There isn't enough research yet into female ejaculation, but it's real. It's a thing. There's a lot of conflicting research, the little research that we have. Some people say it's piss. Some people say it's like secretions from a gland that we have.
Didn't you taste it once? You tasted your own squirt
smelled,
and it did not.
And tasted my piss. No. I mean, that was another time. smelt and tasted my squirt and it didn't taste anything like piss.
Yeah. Can I ask a question? Surely someone's tested it. How did you... where did it go? How did you get it?
Well, I remember it happened once and I was like, did I just wet myself? And it was all over my bed and I was pissed off about it. So I was like, I've
got to change the sheets.
The next time I did it, I remember like putting a cushion underneath me to soak up. I don't know why. I think it was just what I had available in the room.
That's an even worse idea.
It was like a cushion on the side of the room. And I just remember being like, okay, that's interesting. It didn't feel bad, didn't feel good.
Mm.
It's not an orgasm, but it is a type of release. And a lot of people love it. And it's almost like once you learn to squirt and you feel comfortable too, it opens Pandora's box and you can squirt all the time.
I did not have one friend who made herself squirt basically during sex because she was really into like just trying it.
Yeah.
And then after that happened, she couldn't not squirt.
Yes, I've heard that as well.
Came.
Oh no, you've unlocked it.
Yeah.
And I feel like...
which is kind of a good thing and also a messy thing.
Yeah, a messy
it could be really
thing.
Annoying.
I've had a friend that said exactly the
How
same.
How much is it?
Yeah. It varies depends. Person to person. It could be a trickle or it could be gushing. I mean, what we're thinking of when we're thinking of squirting is porn. The porn version, right? Is like on the other side of the room, gushing.
Yeah.
And that's not everyone. Maybe those people who are squirting in porn have practiced a lot. They've honed in on their muscles so they can push it out that far.
Yeah.
And sometimes it is piss. Sometimes it is whatever it is, some kind of mixture of water, but neither of that matters. It's just fluid in a hot sexual situation that is pleasurable and we should just be enjoying it regardless.
I always wonder as well, because you know after sex, you do always need to piss. So there must be something that happens inside us that fills our glands.
It's got to be something, you know. Like, I don't...
Unless that's a body's way of trying to prevent you getting a UTI.
I'm still in two minds because I'm like, there isn't really... I'm thinking about the people that squirt a lot. There isn't like a second bladder where it comes from. So I'm like, it's
coming from your bladder.
Yeah, I'm like, biologically, that can't be right. But then I've literally smelt my own squirt. I've tasted my own squirt and it doesn't taste anything like wee. But then there's also evidence that came out that said that squirt is 30% wee.
Which makes sense because it's coming from the same place. So it's going to pick up urine from the... from the pathway anyway.
But, I mean, the answer is we don't really know because there isn't enough research on it.
Okay, but it is a real thing.
Yeah, and it's hot as fuck.
Yeah.
Hot.
Yeah. I squirted a little bit when someone was fingering me.
I love it.
And they were like, oh, there's a little like pool of liquid in my hand. And I was like, oh, wow, that's really exciting.
If you piss yourself, it's cool. If you squirt, it's cool. We love it. Own it. Enjoy
it. Isn't there a Pokemon called Squirt.
Squirtle.
Yeah, Squirtle. Squirtle. Every time you put a tape of my squirt, I was like, oh God.
Squirtle. Oh God.
Love. There are a lot of questions about anal play.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people saying how and why would you lick a butthole? I don't understand it. It's where shit comes out. Can you please make it make sense?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I'm on one side of this and Reed's on the other.
Can I take a guess as to who's on what side?
Yeah.
Do you like licking bum holes, Reed?
I sent Florence a song today that said, I don't eat ass. And I was like, this reminds me of you, fart face.
I don't eat ass.
I eat ass, I can't
get past the fact that it is where you shit out of.
Yeah.
Right. I have rimmed someone once because they really wanted me to. And I made him shower, like clean himself and then baby wipe to make sure that there was like absolutely immaculate. No residue. And then when I did it, I was just like, the position he was in, I was like, this, I'm not finding this that is hot mm-hmm. in any kind of way. And when people do it to me, I'm like, I don't feel anything there. But that's just me.
Yeah. I mean,
whereas...
I think part of the charm is that it is the no-no place. It's the place that you don't want to go to. And it is a little bit like, oh, nerve-wracking and naughty. And I love... I mean, I've really enjoyed eating ass in the past. And I don't even really care if it's not fully clean. Because I'm just like, that's the whole point of sex.
It feels good for people sometimes.
I feel like if you're on your period... and someone fucks you or fingers you and they're like, oh my God, there's blood there. That's part and parcel of sex. It's just a bodily fluid that maybe you don't necessarily want there, but that's just part of sex. You know, you might snot out some cum or something like that. It's exactly the same. If you're going around the anus for anal play, fingers, rimming, there might just be some shit there.
That doesn't bother you.
I know. I think it's human. It's just, we're bodies. We're not machines that are supposed to be clean and squeaky clean all the time. Because I feel like that's dangerous for us to believe in. Otherwise, you know, we feel like shame there. And it's like, mate, if my arsehole's dirty and you're going to lick it out and just, you don't have to.
Yeah,
but yeah,
I think
just
you
go
do
for
have
it.
To be prepared. Like if you're going to, if that's where you're going, you know what, you know, you're like, mm-hmm. you know where you're going, don't you?
And I understand why, you know, some dudes will fuck a girl and be like, oh, there's blood on my dick. And it's just like, what do you expect? It's a fucking vagina,
Like, when my ex like loved period sex, it just excited me so much because
so
it was like,
cool.
I think this is great that you're turned on by the fact that there's blood all over your dick.
Yeah, that's hot. Some hot shit. And the same with like anyone that's into something that's a little bit not just penis, vagina, clear, perfect, natural lubrication, which doesn't always happen. We've got discharge and sometimes we do need to use actual lube. And I think it's having all these like, oh, I don't like the sound of that is causing all the shame when you need to just be like, let it go. It's a human body. If you want to fuck that human body, just let it go and enjoy yourself.
Yeah. But if you don't like it, it's totally fine too.
Yeah, that
you
is
can
okay.
Say, I've
it's
definitely
understandable,
had,
yeah.
Yeah,
why
I've definitely
you don't
had
like
people
it.
Like want to lick my arse. Mm-hmm. Like actually so many guys are into rimming and like, I'm
please.
Just like I just it just doesn't do anything for me so I'm don't
oh
bother.
Yeah if you don't want to receive absolutely and if you don't want to give absolutely but it's like taking that shame away if it's like a preference.
I like other anal play though, like if it's fingers or if it's a dick or if it's a toy, then I really enjoy it.
Mm-hmm.
Do you?
It's just like the mouth to butt thing.
Yeah, just the mouth thing.
See, I'm the opposite. I don't really enjoy anal play. I'm trying. I've tried for years, but I just don't think my butthole's made that way. So I'm like, nah, just It's not popping. No, it doesn't feel pleasurable.
I like that you're so tenacious, though. Like, you're going to keep trying. Like, for me, it would be I didn't like trying.
I love the idea of it. I'm like, oh, yeah, anal sounds so hot. It's, like, so naughty. And then I'm like, oh, no, that actually don't feel that great for me. But I'll keep trying because it probably isn't my body that doesn't love it. It's probably just my mind not allowing me to relax into it.
You have to be super relaxed for anal.
Super.
That's when it's going to feel good. And also, you need to be really prepared of lube. And the more lube that you do have, the less likely you are to get shit anywhere.
Yes.
Because that was something that came up in your questions a lot. I was like, literally, how?
How do you do it cleanly?
How do you do anal cleanly?
So you can douche, but we just don't recommend it. Douching is not...
I don't think it's
good for you. I don't think it's necessary. The best time to have anal, you know, listen to your body, listen to your gut. Mm. If you're having a shit and you're wiping and there's lots of residue, maybe that's not the best time to have anal. But you can do it with loads of lube. Get loads of natural lube. Doesn't have to be natural. I don't know why I said natural. I was thinking of like coconut oil. Coconut oil is really good, but you cannot use coconut oil or oil-based lubricants with condoms. To be specific.
Or you could use CBD lubes. There's CBD this great lube. Anal lube brand called Howl, which is like a British London-based company. CBD, and it's water-based, and they have a silicone one, which is made specifically for anal. It's one of my favourite lubes. It's so good.
Yeah, and just, you know, get into it. Relax yourself. Use fingers first. Baby steps. Mm-hmm. It doesn't have to be suddenly you're fucking doggy.
You can even buy toys that are like anal trainers. Like if it's something that you really want to get into, like start off with small things. Like start with like butt plugs and stuff like that.
Butt plugs can be really comfortable. Yeah.
Butt plugs, honestly, heighten sexual sensations so much. It's kind of a game changer.
Yeah, it could be why maybe it's too much for me because when you get the anus involved, it's a very different type of pleasure than vaginal, than vulva, clitoral. It's like it's almost like super intense in a very different way.
Yeah.
But some people are, you know, some people have their clitoris nerve endings near their rectum and so can literally come from having anal or just being stimulated around there. Yeah. It's a beautiful thing. I want it.
See, I was going to ask you because you enjoy anal. I was going to ask whether you enjoy the actual, like, physical act of it.
Put your hands down.
Sorry. The physical
shoving
act of it.
It in.
Or is it, like, the concept, like, the, oh, it feels naughty, but is it the actual, like, sorry. Physical.
Listeners, like Alice that. Like shoving her hands like
what,
down.
What feels, two I'm fists. Just intrigued. Like, what feels pleasurable about it?
Do you orgasm? Only if I have clitoral stimulation as well, because I think for me, it's more of a mental thing of being like, this is dirty, this is naughty, like I shouldn't be doing this, it's so gross, but I'm doing it anyway. And also the feeling of being like full in like another
very full
place. It's weird. It's like a really weird sensation. But if it's twinned for me with clitoral stimulation, I come so quickly because it's like, it's almost just like such a mind thing because our orgasms are mind. They're controlled by our mind, really. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I don't think it's the physical act of the penis or whatever it is in the arse.
So do men have a G-spot in their bum?
They do. Yeah.
Absolutely, yes.
But can women don't.
Have either of you pegged somebody?
Yes.
Is that fun?
Yeah, well, it's a very different type of sex. Of course it's fun. But
it's exhausting.
It's sex can be exhausting if you're just doing all the work.
All that thrusting looks so tiring.
I was thinking, you know, I've got this like strap on and I'm like, wow, the dude's putting a lot of work, man. Like, I'm there just like enjoying them, not really making a move. But when I've got my dildo on or my strap on, I'm like, fuck it.
Go time.
This is a whole workout. Like, you doing okay down there?
This is Jane Fonda, like, hip thrusters.
Yeah, it's unusual. It's hard to explain because with a strap on, you don't have any nerve endings. You don't have a penis. You don't feel it the same way. It's very much the act of it. Mm. You can get strap-ons that have, you know, vibrators or insertions that go inside you, but the pegging that I've done has been just just for them, really.
It's proof that sex is mind as well as physical sensation.
Yeah, and I was just like, fuck, this is intense. And he's just there loving it. And I'm like,
how can your little butthole take all this? But all right, keep going. Good point.
Talk about G-spots. A lot of people saying, is there definitely a G-spot for women? I'm convinced, in capitals, that it doesn't exist for me.
Okay, so new information came out recently
okay.
where the G-spot is a myth in the sense that there isn't a button, there isn't this place. What the G-spot actually is your clitoris, and I don't know if you've seen the diagram of the full clitoris. It's not just like this tiny little cute nubbin. It's a whole wishbone looking thing.
I told her on my birthday it's the size of a Coke can.
Yes.
And she didn't believe me.
It's huge.
She thought it was an emism, which is when I sometimes just make facts up.
Yeah.
Amazing.
That was the truth. So the G-spot is literally clitoris. Round the back, you've got all these nerve endings, and it's just basically the internal clitoris. And yeah, depending right. on where your nerve endings are and how big your clitoris, your inner clitoris is, you'll be able to find the G-spot. But it takes a long time and a long time of practice and relaxing into it. It took me fucking years and years and years to find my G-spot. And even then I still lose it. I'm like, oh no, okay, it's not really there. But
it also really depends on what you're using to stimulate it, because I think you need a very particular fit to find it sometimes. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I don't think I've never ever been able to give myself a G-spot orgasm, because I can't personally like find it myself. Mm-hmm. But there has been particular penises that work just like instantly for the G-spot. And so I think it does exist, but
it's just different. It's
getting
it's
big, like the one
different for everyone.
The one chooses the wizard.
Yeah. It's a full like Harry Potter moment.
Feels like it.
Yeah.
But I think like that's something that so many people, women particularly, don't realize is that, and I don't know what the statistic is, but I swear it's like 70% of women can't orgasm through penetration alone.
Yeah. Well, this
wrong bit,
along with squirting, was the number one thing. Is a lot of people just saying like, is it really normal to not orgasm during penetration? Basically, are they alone? And B, like, what can they do about it? Like, is there anything they can do, or are they like just destined forever to not be able to orgasm during penetration?
Like, you're absolutely not alone.
I'm going to join in with those guys. It is
the only time I can come through penetrative sex is when I am so turned on, and maybe I've had sexual situations like, you know, like I've had sex the moments before. Basically, the only time I can get a G-spot orgasm to work is when everything is like almost swollen with pleasure. That's when I can achieve a G-spot orgasm, but that's still very on and off.
I think we kind of learned that it's about taking the goal away from the orgasm, mm-hmm. because it's when, I mean, we've all been there, that moment where we're like, oh, I'm going to orgasm, and then you think about it way too much and obviously it just disappears. We've all been in that situation. So it's kind of taking yourself away from like the idea of like, I really just want to achieve this orgasm. It needs to happen. If you take that away and just enjoy the sex that you're having, or the masturbation, or the pleasure in general, then you don't have, you can just enjoy like every single bit, because the orgasm isn't everything. Mm-hmm. Some people can't orgasm. I think there are some people that it just doesn't, it's not
for
them.
It's very rare that you can't physically orgasm. I think the main blockage for a lot of women is our own minds, and is not being comfortable enough, not being turned on enough to actually be able to achieve that orgasm, or you just distract yourself and you shut yourself off from it.
Right. So what would you recommend for people who aren't able to orgasm with their partners, like to help them?
I would say, firstly, aside from like other tools and stuff that you can use, if it's something that's really bothering you, there are sex therapists out there, and that's their job to help mm-hmm. you dissect and understand what has happened in your past, what's happening in your head that's taking you away from achieving that orgasm. Because sometimes it can be like inner trauma, something that's happened in your childhood or in your like teen years or whenever, really, that's stopping you from actually getting there. But I think if you don't want to go like that deep into it, there are so many other ways that you can explore pleasure, and that's maybe using like additional tools in the bedroom, like toys on your clitoris,
lube,
whilst you're having penetration. Because to be honest, a clitoral orgasm is just as great as a G-spot orgasm. They feel they feel
very similar. Yeah,
similar they can feel similar. Both amazing.
I mean, both Florence and I, we both have weekly therapists. We're huge on therapy, and we think that's super important, just to get connected back in your back out of your head, back in your body. And I think a lot of pleasure and orgasms are that we are too in our heads when we need to be in our bodies. I would really recommend, if anyone is struggling to orgasm, like almost like relearning by themselves, finding their own sexual pleasure, not relying on the other person. And if you can achieve an orgasm without that other person, then maybe that other person isn't making you feel comfortable enough to achieve the orgasm. I really struggle, even with my partner, who I can come with all the time. Sometimes I just get so caught up in my head.
Yeah, me too.
And I mean, yeah, most of us do. And it's so hard to get out of that. You kind of need someone to want to like hold your hand and be like, no, we're going to keep trying. Let's not give up. Like, there's no pressure.
You need to hold your own hand.
Yes.
And do that. My therapist said to me like a few weeks ago, which blew mine and Reed's brain. He just said, your pleasure is your responsibility. So it's your responsibility to communicate with your partner, to like make it happen in the moment, because if you're putting it all on your partner, then you're never going to get there.
Yeah. And that's quite a lot of pressure for your partner as well. Yeah. So it's making sure that you are getting the lube and you are buying the right sex toy that works for you. And you are saying, hey, no, I know you've just had an orgasm, but I don't want this to be over. I would like to orgasm, and we're not going to stop until we get there. Or like, hey, can you not come just yet? Is it okay if we do me first, no matter how long that takes, and then we do you?
On that, would you have sex toy recommendations for anybody listening who's getting into it? Like a beginner, yes. like a first couple
for sure,
of toys.
100%.
Our main one.
Well, for beginners, though, I would say definitely start experimenting with bullets if you are really new to the scene of sex toys.
If you've never had a sex toy, you need something cute and small for clitoral stimulation that, you know, you might not feel too embarrassed about having.
The clitoral suction toys are a game changer. I think
a bit much for me, but
yeah, it depends how sensitive you are down there.
Yeah, and they can be quite intense, so it just depends on how much pleasure you want on your clitoris.
But our absolute favorite
of all time is getting a wand, is buying yourself a wand. I mean, you can get like, I think
different
the American
size ones as well.
Yeah, like little travel ones. But that is like such a large surface area. And for me, I don't like really pinpointed vibrations or pleasure. It's too much. It's too sensitive. So I like a large surface area, which is what a wand has. And that kind of vibrates the whole of the area.
I just need to put a caveat in case any of my followers are listening to this, because the last time I recommended a wand.
Yes.
I got DMs being like, how's that going to fit inside me?
Oh, no.
It doesn't go inside you.
It doesn't, not. No.
I just really want to put that warning out. Keep it outside you.
Yes, it's just for clitoral stimulation, but it's also really great for solo sex. I mean, I use my wand pretty much like every night.
Every day.
And for partnered sex, it's great too. So it's really easy for somebody else to use on you as well if you feel a bit embarrassed. But the best thing to do is if they're not getting it right, you take the reins, you hold it. I mean, I have to do that all the time because it's hard to fucking find a clitoris sometimes. I even struggle finding my own. And so if they're holding it and you're like, I'm not really feeling this, and be like, oh, just right here, hold that there.
Yes.
Or just be like, if you let me hold that there while you're playing with my nipples or you're sucking my feet or like while your dick's in my mouth or whatever, then yeah, oh God, it's so
honest,
much easier.
To be honest,
picturing
all
those things, I was like,
I know, yeah. My mind was like, go.
There's been so many times where a partner has been holding a toy on me and it's been in completely the wrong place. Yeah. And I've just not said anything,
yes.
Like an idiot. Well, not like an idiot, let's not say that about myself.
No.
Because it's
in
hard to talk about these things when you're having sex. Mm-hmm. But I think you're right in saying either direct them to where it actually is, or just take control of it yourself, because you're definitely gonna have better pleasure if you're holding it, because you know exactly the points that are feeling great.
Yeah, it's so hard to do. We've only been brought up with sex ed, which was all about the male ejaculation and all the scary bits like
and
STIs
not
and not getting pregnant and toxic shock and all that horrible stuff. We didn't learn about pleasure and how to have pleasure, give ourselves pleasure, and how to talk about it with other people and do it with other people. We're so scared of it.
Yeah. Which is why we do what we do.
Yeah.
That's why we love what you do.
And even though we do what we do, it can still be hard and awkward for us to do. But if it is hard and awkward, you just have to push yourself to do it and you won't regret it. You know, you'll get there eventually. You'll get that pleasure. You'll get that orgasm. You'll get that amazing experience. The more you talk and the more open you are, the more communicate.
Exactly. Just talk to your partner. That's the...
Be all and end all.
Well, we need you for like 3 more
please,
hours.
Please, can you come back?
I've got so many questions.
100%.
Like, please come back.
We didn't even scratch the surface of these questions.
No,
honestly.
You didn't it's ask endless. The one about jizzing on the face. And I know. Really interested.
Jizzing on the face. That's such a good question.
I know. Okay, should we do it very quickly?
Yeah.
I don't want him to come on my face. He says it's his kink and that I'm shaming him for it by saying no, but I don't want it.
Oh, that's driving me mad. She doesn't want it. It doesn't matter if it's your kink. If they don't want it, then you cannot make them do it.
I think a lot of people hide behind kinks or like will say it's kink shaming when Same they want
like
a woman to do something.
As well, pisses me off so much.
You have to be so careful with all this stuff because there will be people out there that do take advantage of it. And you need to fundamentally just always go back to consent because that is the be all and end all.
Could we just ask just to give that listener a really helpful tool, what language would you say that she takes back to her partner to just communicate that she really doesn't want to do it?
It's so upsetting that he said you're shaming me. It's like, yes, you might feel shamed, but it's regardless of that, like they're not consenting, they're not comfortable with it. You can't expect them to be okay with it. Then they need to have a conversation around, this is something that's past my boundary. I'm putting down a boundary. I would really not like it if you ejaculate on my face. I know it's your kink, but is there a compromise that we can come to? Do you feel comfortable jizzing on my boobs? Or explain why you don't want them to come on your face and have that conversation. Also hear them, you know, listen to them, understand. It's so tough because I don't know what their language would be like, but you can say like, I sympathize, I don't mean to shame you of your kink, it's really cool, it's something that I'm not comfortable with, that I don't want to be a part of. Is there something else that we can do? Can we find a compromise?
Perfect. Okay.
And also red flag if he doesn't take that as an
massive
answer,
red flag
run.
What else is he red flagging on that situation if he's talking about like, oh, you're shaming me for not letting you come on.
Yeah.
No.
Shaming me for saying no.
You can't
saying no to something. Like, that's not shaming.
Please come
back. Please, will you come back? Will you promise you'll come back? And especially want to hear about your first ever sex party.
Yes.
And we've got so many questions more to go through. And yeah, this has just been brilliant. Thank you so much.
This is
now
hosted by 4 people. We're just going to have to come
and live
with
you
guys.
Thank you so much for listening. Should I Delete That is part of the Acast Creator Network.
Treat mom to healthy, glowing skin with Osea's limited edition skincare sets. Osea has been making clean, seaweed-infused products for nearly 30 years. Their Golden Glow body set includes 3 clinically proven bestsellers for smooth, glowing skin, while the Glow and Go facial set provides spa-level results at home. Both sets come in giftable boxes with savings up to $48 and free shipping for a limited time. For 10% off your first order site-wide, go to oseamalibu.com and use code MOM.